This is the DX Audio Service for July 1985. Hello, I'm Fred Volby reporting. In the background, we have a little different theme music to start off our program this month, and it is the nightly news theme from NBC's 1973 and 1974 television season. I'd like to thank Kevin Slater for providing me with this background, kind of an interesting background. In fact, I have all the shows from the 1973-74 themes on tape. However, I'm missing a few. Maybe in a future issue, I can play some of these to you, and if you know what they are, you can let me know. There's about, let's see, 6 different shows from the 73-74 NBC season, which I don't have titles to. Well, we'll see what we can do about that in the future. Anyways, let's swing right over to the front page, as there is considerable news from the club. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm sorry for the delay in the issues of tapes. I've taken a new job with WLIO-TV, which is an NBC affiliate here in Lima, Ohio. And that facilitated a move from our house in Westland to Lima. Now, needless to say, between selling our home in Westland and packing up two 18-foot trucks, the time element couldn't have been worse. We moved on the final 2 weeks of June, and as you know, that's when we produce the next month's audio service. Again, I'm sorry for the delay. However, there was a problem in that I was in Lima, and my equipment was in Westland. Now that we're all together again, it should run a lot smoother. Now, a couple of things to note. First of all, I have a new address, and it is 706 McKenzie. That's McKenzie. And it's in Lima, Ohio, and that's spelled L-I-M-A. And the zip plus 4 is 45805-1835. My telephone number is area code 419-224-1335. At this time, I don't have the phone patch connected. However, in a week or so, it should be nailed down. If you want to call or send a muse to me or a news story, please call between 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as I am an early riser and go to bed about 9:15 or so. And we all know how it is to get shaken out of bed by a call when you're sleeping. So, anyways, call between 6 and 9, or you can call me on Saturday or Sunday mornings after 7 a.m. And if you catch the answering machine, remember that you have about 3 minutes to send something before the machine turns itself automatically off. The machine also operates on a Vox system, so if you take too long of a pause, it will hang up on you. I'm pleased to announce that we have a new editor on the staff of the audio service. His name is John Bowker, and has one of the largest collections of top-of-the-hour AM radio station IDs that I've ever heard. John will be doing a regular feature called On the Dial, which he will present to you these IDs on each issue. From your comments and suggestions, we'll be adding new material from time to time. As always, let us know what's new, and remember that this club is your club, so contribute muses and information to the club. And on the questions that we've been asked a lot of, there's been one question that's kind of stepped right up to the front, and that is about adding FM, TV, or shortwave material to the audio service. As it stands now, I don't think that we'll be adding those services to the audio service as far as DX reports and call letter switches, etc., as the DX audio service is a medium-wave DX club. Perhaps if the membership gets very large and we can find support from other clubs, we will add this material. But for now, we're sticking close to the good old AM band. This doesn't mean that during one of your muses or something, you can't mention DX Caught on other services, or you can't submit news articles about other services. The object of the audio service is to provide you with news and information about DXing, with the emphasis on medium wave DX. As with all clubs, it's the membership and the management of the club that makes or breaks it. So let's keep our ears open and submit material to the DX audio service whenever possible. I'm also pleased to say that we have two muses from members to report on this issue. We'll hear from them on side two of this cassette. And right now I'd like to introduce Jerry Starr with the AM Switch column, and we'll do it in the same way which we did on last month's issue. Jerry? Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch, as taken from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. As always, we begin with a number of call letter changes, and since we last reported to you, there have been dozens of them. Starting with 640, a new station in Mount Holly, New Jersey, will be WWJZ. 740 WMBG, Williamsburg, Virginia, becomes WQSF. New station on 750 in El Paso, Texas, will be KEPB. On 810, KWSR Rifle, Colorado, changes to KDBL. On 830, there's a new station in Franklin, Kentucky. They'll take on the call letters WACN. 910 WUSA in Mishawaka, Indiana, becomes WMSH, and it probably is not going to be too long before someone else snatches up those WUSA calls. On 930, WCDJ Sandwich, Illinois, becomes WBYG. WITN in Washington, North Carolina, changes to WRRF. NKLLS in Terrell Hills, Texas, which was silent for a while, has now returned to the air under the new call of KRNN. On 970, KLHT, Spokane, Washington, changes to KZZU. A new station on 1040 in Cannonsburg, Kentucky, had applied for call letters WKOG. Although the station is not on the air yet, they have already changed calls. The new call will be WOKT. On 1050, WHGI, Augusta, Georgia, becomes WIGL. At 1090, WBOZ in San German, Puerto Rico, changes to WSOL. New station on 1120 in Maryville, Tennessee, will be WCGM. Three new stations, all on 1200 kilohertz. In Pine Island Center, Florida, the new call will be WDCQ. In Thonota Sasa, Florida, WFLZ. And in Hollywood, South Carolina, WWRJ. Up the dial to 1210, the new station in Static, Tennessee will be WSBI. 1220 WZYM, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, changes to KZIM. 1290 KTRN, Wichita Falls, Texas, KLLF. KRRN on 1310 in San Antonio, Texas, becomes KBUC. And there's a little story about that we'll tell you in just a second. On 1330, WAVX in Milton, Florida, becomes WEBY. Also on 1330, WSPP. The new station in Springville, New York, will be WSPQ. On 1350, KLYD, Bakersfield, California, changes to KUNN. 1370, WMYD in Wickford, Rhode Island, will become WKFD. They're going back to their previous calls. On 1400, KIVR, Cave Junction, Oregon, will change to KBGG. 1420, WHEZ, Canova, West Virginia, changes back to the call they had when they were over in Kentucky, WTCR. On 1470, WSAN, Allentown, Pennsylvania, becomes WXKW. Two changes on 1480, WLSC in Watertown, South Dakota, is going back to its former calls of WSDR, and the new station in Gooding, Idaho, will take on the calls KIDI. On 1560, WKKX, Paoli, Indiana, changes to WWWJ. WJDS in Bolivar, Tennessee, will become WQKZ. And on 1580, KLOU, Lake Charles, Louisiana, changes its call to KXZZ. Couple notes on call letter changes. KRNN was never used on 1310, despite a previous report, since that change involved a sale. The sale fell through, and so 1310 never used the KRNN calls. Those later went to 930. 1310 has, throughout the period, remained with their present call, KBUC. WHGI on 1050 had been granted the call WTCB, but that call was set aside and was never used on the air. WHGI has subsequently changed to WIGL, as we noted a few minutes ago. And WKOG 1040, as we told you, was never used. The station is not on the air, and when they do come on, their call will be WOKT. The FCC has once again this month granted licenses for a number of new stations, actually granted construction permits. The license follow the construction permit. Granted new facilities in 650 North Las Vegas, Nevada. This is a previous listing. Here are the correct powers. 10,000 day and night. Same directional antenna system day and night. That's U3. on 670 Miami, Florida, 50,000 day, 2,500 night, U4. That is also a correction. That is the correct night power, 2,500 night. On 720, new station in Richland, Mississippi, 5,000 watts, D1. On 780, Siesta Key, Florida, 5,000 day, 1,000 night, U4. Two new ones on 830, Franklin, Kentucky, will have 250 watts, D1, and St. Andrews, South Carolina, 10,000 day, 1,000 nights, U1. On 870, Lachlan, Nevada, 10,000 day, 1,000 night, U3. That means same directional pattern day and night. 1020, new station in Eagle River, Alaska, will be 10,000 day, 2,500 night, U2. On 1160, Mobile, Alabama, gets a new station with 10,000 day and 1,000 nights, U2. On 1190, St. Mary's, Georgia, will be 2,500 D1. Here are those three new stations on 1200. We gave you the call letters for them previously. Pine Island Center, Florida, will be 10,000 day, 1,000 night. That will be U4. In Thanatasasa, Florida, 10,000 day, 1,000 night, U4. And in Hollywood, South Carolina, 2,500 day, 1,000 watts night, U2. 1320, new station in Coleman, Florida, will be 500 watts, D1. And on 1520, in Sequim, Washington, 5,000 day, 5,000 nights, U2. Number of grants have also been made to change existing facilities, and some interesting applications have been made recently. Normally, we don't include all the applications on the audio version of AM Switch, but we are going to go down through some of the highlights because there are some interesting things going on as far as applications go. On 700 KTMI in Newport, Washington, this is a new station which has been licensed for several years, has not yet been built, has applied to move the station license to Grangeville, Idaho. In Grangeville, they propose to have 5,000 watts day and night with different directional patterns day and night. This is not just a rush to the suburbs. This is a proposed move of the entire station over 200 miles. Some other interesting recent applications include on 810 WKBC, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, has proposed to move to 800 kilohertz with 1,000 non-directional watts daytime only. On 1240, KPPC in Pasadena, California, has a very unusual application. They have applied to raise their power to 400 watts and to change their operational mode to N1. In other words, they will operate from sunset to sunrise 7 days a week. Presently, they are an SH1, a shared hours station, specified hours station, and they operate only a few hours on Wednesday and Sunday. This would set precedent here because whereas Canada has several N1 operations, we have none here in the United States. And, of course, since the stations have been allowed to quadruple their night power on the Class 4 frequencies, this station previously being 100 watts would quadruple to 400 watts. Once again, they're applying to become an N1 station. They would operate 7 days a week only from sunset to sunrise. On 1280, KDYL in Salt Lake City has asked to raise night power to 750 watts. That's one of those new intermediate power applications the FCC is now accepting. On 1420, WFLT Flint, Michigan, has applied once again to move to Burton, Michigan, to get full time with 5,000 day and night with separate directional patterns. On 1430, KGAY in Salem, Oregon, proposes to go full time and move to Kaiser, Oregon. There'll be 5,000 U2 if approved. On 1520, WTLN, Apopka, Florida, reapplies to move to 1610 with 25 kilowatts directional daytime only. Now let's take a look at some of the interesting grants which have recently been handed out by the FCC. Again, we will not mention all the grants since a majority of them are for simple changes in the antenna system or possible minor relocation of the transmitting site. But some of the ones which will affect your DXing include on 550 KUZZ, Bakersfield, California, raises power to a kilowatt day and night. On 640 WOI in Ames, Iowa, goes full-time, adding 1,000 watts at night. They will be U2. 850 WLRC in Walnut, Mississippi, after a number of applications, finally has been granted their power increase to 1,000 watts. 870 in Glendale, California, KIEV got their power increase from the FCC. They will now be 10,000 day, 1000 Night U4. And on 880 KJJR, Whitefish, Montana modifies their night power down to 1000 watts, changes the antenna to U2. A 960 WGRR in Pritchard, Alabama gets full-time facilities. They'll now be 2500 day 1000 Night U2 with a separate night transmitter site. On 1000 WMUF, Paris, Tennessee raises their power to 5,000 day, 2,500 critical hours. That will be non-directional daytime only. On 1100, KTEK, Alvin, Texas, raises their power to 2,500. They'll be D3. On 1130, WCBX in Eden, North Carolina, will move to 830 kilohertz, and they'll be full-time with a kilowatt day and night and a U2 antenna. On 1190, WKOX, Framingham, Massachusetts, moves their frequency up a notch to 1200 kilohertz, and they will be full-time with 50,000 watts day and night, directional antenna night only. On 1210, KOJO, Laramie, Wyoming, changes their day power level to 10,000 watts from 50,000. That power reduction will change their antenna from U4 to U2. So basically, they lowered their daytime power to eliminate the need of having a separate antenna system and a separate DA pattern for daytime. So they are now non-directional day and directional night. On 1220, WEZG, North Syracuse, New York, is also moving to 1200. They'll have a kilowatt day and night directional antenna at night only, or U2. On 1280, KTOL, Lacey, Washington, adds 500 watts at night to go full-time. They'll have a U2 antenna system. On 1290, WAGE, Leesburg, Virginia, also moves to 1200 kilohertz with 5,000 day, 1,000 nights, and the antenna will be U2. On 1430, KCLK, Clarkston, Washington, finally gets approval for their move to Asselton, Washington. There'll be 5,000 day, 1,000 night, U4 antenna, and they will relocate the transmitter. On 1470, WMMW, Meriden, Connecticut, raises their night power to 2,500 watts. 1520, WEXY, Oakland Park, Florida, will go full-time by adding 250 watts at night and also move their city of license to Wilton Manors, Florida. Also on 1520, WYRU, Red Springs, North Carolina, moves to 1160 kilohertz, 5,000 watts day, 250 watts night. The antenna will be U2. And that was done rather quickly because the grant was only made several weeks ago. That station has already made the move to 1160, where they are operating now. 1560 KLLV, Breen, Colorado, moves to 1490 with a kilowatt day and night non-directional. On 1580, WMTL, Litchfield, Kentucky, will move to 870 kilohertz. They'll be 500 watts D3, daytime only. WLIM, Patchogue, New York, changes their critical hours, power, and antenna also. There'll be 1,000 watts non-directional now during critical hours. And WJIK, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, moves from 1580 to 830 kilohertz with 10,000 watts directional, daytime only. Now let's briefly scan down through otherness, news and views and notes from the broadcasting business on a variety of subjects. Some of the highlights include some applications for new stations which have been dismissed. In other words, it's the end of the road for these applications. They were on 720 for Ellisville, Mississippi, Marble Falls, Texas, and Universal City, Texas. In the Universal City situation, there were two applicants for that city. Only one has been dismissed so far, which leads us to believe that very shortly we'll be seeing a grant for the other station applied for in Universal City, Texas. On 770, WYRV, new station in Cedar Bluff, Virginia. This station is on the air now. On 890, WYAI, Ridgeland, Mississippi. Several reports tell us that new station is also now on the air. On 960, KCGS, Marshall, Arkansas, is now on this frequency, having shifted from their old frequency of 1600. They're now on 960 with 5,000 watts directional daytime only. 1080, KPRX, Price, Utah. The change for full-time has taken place. They are now full-time on 1080. 1100 WUBS, Harrisburg, Illinois. Once again, we have several reports from listeners who say that station is now on the air. On 1120 WCGM, Maryville, Tennessee, is now on the air. By the way, in the NRC log, that's listed as 5,000 watts, which is incorrect. The station actually is 500 watts. That's 1120 WCGM, Maryville, Tennessee. New station now on the air with 500 watts. On 1130 WSDM, Brazil, Indiana, station has been silent for almost a year, is now back on the air with these calls. On 1160 WCCS, Homer City, Pennsylvania, now on this frequency. They moved May 17th from 1520 to 1160, and they are NSP, no silent period. 1180 WFGN, Gaffney, South Carolina, is now on this frequency, having vacated their old frequency of 1570. 1390 is an interesting story. In Denver, Colorado, as KPPL has been silent for several weeks after the people who held the deed to their leased property foreclosed and impounded all their equipment, and the company which financed their several trailers in which the station was operating also repossessed those, so the station has been off the air. It has been reported recently as operating sporadically from a new location with only 500 watts into a long wire antenna, and the future of this station probably very much in doubt. 1400 KVLA, Vidalia, Louisiana, has moved here from their old frequency of 1390, and of course are now full-time. On 1450 WNAB, Bridgeport, Connecticut, that station is silent, pending an upcoming sale. And also on 1450 WHRY, a new station in Hurley, Wisconsin, that station is now on the air. That's about all the information for this time from this edition of AM Switch for the DX Audio Service, except to pass along several interesting things the FCC has been up to lately. Probably the most important for DXing purposes, and we touched on this briefly when we mentioned a couple of the early applications that fall into this new area. The FCC has approved a rule change that would make it possible for AM stations to operate at intermediate power levels. The application we mentioned a few minutes ago by KDYL on 1280 to raise their night power to 750 watts is the first one made after this rule change. The FCC will phase in the plan during a three-year period to minimize the amount of paperwork they'll have to do. During the first 3 years, the FCC will accept only applications for power increases of 50% or more. After the three-year limit has passed, the FCC will then accept applications for power increases of 20% or more. At no time will they accept applications for increases of less than 20%, since the FCC feels such increases will yield little public benefit. Under no circumstances will the FCC accept any applications to reduce power to an intermediate level. For example, if a station was directional with 5,000 watts and felt they could go non-directional by reducing their power to, say, 3,500 watts, this would not be accepted. To do so, they would have to apply to reduce to the next lower standard power level, in this case would be 2,500 watts. The FCC also is proposing to raise the maximum power levels for regional channel stations in Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Hawaii, and Alaska from 5,000 watts to 50,000 watts. And finally, and most startling as far as DXing goes, the FCC has announced the completion of an agreement with Canada which would make possible full-time operations for all stations in the U.S. now operating daytime only on the Canadian Clear Channels. Under this agreement, 519 AM daytimers on the 14 Canadian Clears will be able to operate full-time with up to 500 watts. The stations will not even have to apply for full-time status. The FCC will notify these stations as soon as their power levels have been determined by the FCC computer. The power levels will be computed much like the post-sunset powers were for the regional channel stations. But again, remember, these authorizations will not be for a few extended hours as the PSSAs were, but these will be for full-time operation. The FCC says it hoped to notify all stations of their power levels by the end of summer. Stations that are operating on the Mexican and Bahamian clear channels so far do not get this authority because those talks are still in progress. The talks have only been completed with the Canadians. And also, the frequency of 540 will not apply at this moment because that frequency, in addition to being a Canadian clear, is also a Mexican clear. So by the end of summer, when the static levels are going down and the DX season begins again, look out on the Canadian frequencies. You'll probably find a whole lot of new stations to chase down. That's about it for this time. I'm Jerry Starr for AM Switch from the pages of DX News for the DX Audio Service. I'll see you next edition, and we expect to have a lot more again.
notice that we did it to Jerry again with those old news logos, and your task, if you decide to accept it, Mr. Phelps, is to ID those news logos. What network did they come from, and approximately what year? We'll let you know toward the end of this side. I'd also like to remind you that NRCon 85 is coming up on July 19th through the 22nd, and that's the NR Convention, which is going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this year. It's going to be sponsored by the National Radio Club. Some of the things which are going to be happening, Clayton Howard from HCJB will be the banquet speaker. And Annie Sennett is going to have the WRTVH quiz. Tom Steele is going to be talking about medium wave and long wave loops and homebrew loops. So you might get some information about how to construct a better antenna system from Tom. Larry Miller will have his shortwave guide staff to answer some questions for you. Richard Wood will be talking about QSLs and otherness of the third world. Jeff White will have a tentative live broadcast of Radio Earth, possibly on Sunday. And there'll be a lot more others, a lot more other people there, which will be talking about different radio topics and all kinds of other little things going on that you'll find very interesting. Now, when is this going to happen again? The 19th through the 22nd. That's the NR Convention. For more details, just write to the National Radio Club, Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin. Zip code is 53523. They'll send a map of the Milwaukee area, and the convention is going to be located at the Red Carpet Hotel Complex. Now, one final note, the attire for Saturday evening 7 p.m. banquet is coat and tie and not formal wear. Okay, and hope to see you there at the NR Convention 1985. Well, that about wraps up side one of the DX Audio Service cassette. Again, we're sorry for the delay in your tapes, and also you might notice a little bit of quality difference here. Usually we run the DBX noise reduction system when preparing the tapes, and unfortunately that is still sitting here on the floor with no cables. Somehow the cables got lost in the move, so we still have to interface 16 different cables to the recorder here before we use our noise reduction. So if you hear a little bit of hiss in the background of your tape, sorry about that. We're just running plain old analog right now. And next issue, of course, we'll have it all fixed up and ready and raring to go. Now, have you thought about those news logos? What network did they come from? The news logos which you heard came from a network service, which personally I thought was a rather innovative and nice service. However, it just didn't make it off the ground, and that was the NBC News and Information System, or service, from about mid-70s. I believe, if I remember right, it was 1975. Many stations had the service. And, you know, I point out that I enjoyed it very immensely. I thought it was a very worthwhile news service. However, it just didn't quite make it off the ground. So to finish up the remainder of side one here before we flip over to side two, here's some of the news logos from the NBC News and Information Service from 1975.
Sales of Ohio's lottery tickets were sporadic until an advertisement.
For the second year in a row, students who could have received federal money.
The Department of Health, Education, and Welfare is planning to end investigations of
New Hampshire Senate has passed.
All DX, all day, every day on your news and information station. Boy, those news logos bring back some memories from 1975. That wraps up side one of this cassette here for the DX Audio Service for July. Don't forget the new address. Also, be sure to pass the word on the service on to your friends so we can get some more members in the club. Also, be sure to submit material, anything you have that you can get a hold of and give to us, anything to do with medium wave radio. Submit material to the club and support it. Also, we'll see you next month with new logos for the audio service. Until the August 85 edition, I'm Fred Vobey. Have a good day and good DX. See you on Site 2.